You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Critic Reacts. I am your host, Kel Smith. Joining me today is no one. So the purpose of this episode is basically just to recap January and all the movies we did not get to cover in January. So it's just going to be kind of like a speed round of reviews, starting with Insidious: The Last Key. Insidious The Last Key is the fourth entry in the Insidious saga. Hopefully, maybe the last one. And for what it is, it's for a January horror movie, it's actually not that bad. It's actually a really strong, compelling movie. These movies in this franchise have usually been strong, compelling films about... you know, either families dealing with, you know, the drama of one of their members getting possessed, or Lin Shaye dealing with the loss of someone she knew. And again, this movie is about Lin Shaye going back to the house where she originally has seen ghosts, and she has to go and get this kind of, you know, key and defeat this kind of key monster that dwells on the suffering of others. And this movie is really good. It's this incredibly pro-feminist movie about that's also this passing down the torch to Lin Shaye's, you know, her character's niece. And it's this incredible drama about overcoming the trauma of childhood abuse. And the way it all comes together, and the way it all, the whole film comes together in terms of its drama about Lin Shaye and what she wants, and she is the most central character in this movie, and how she confronts her fears and her demons, and how it all comes together in the thematic arc is incredible. It's worth watching 100%. It's a fantastic, it's a fantastic little horror movie that could. I enjoyed this a lot. It's not dumb. It's not that dumb or stupid. The only thing that I found really problematic was the movie constantly throwing a bunch of, you know, these 30-year-old characters that hang around Lin Shaye, because they're the only characters that kind of, all three of them kind of understand what they want to do and what they need. So they kind of hang around. These 30-year-old characters that are, like, paranormal investigators, they kind of creepily hang around these, like, Lin Shaye's nieces and kind of... And it's for a comedy effect, but still, it's kind of a bit creepy and not very well done. Other than that, I thought this was a really strong movie, a strong horror movie. It's probably now not in theaters anymore, so just check it out whenever you get a chance. It's a great find. Next up is The Maze Runner, The Death Cure. Now, as someone who followed YA throughout my early years of college and kind of my last years of high school, I thought the YA genre was a fluke, but it had really strong legs and strong potential of making incredible stories about political and social commentary, and the Hunger Games had it, but the Divergent series kind of did, but it made its characters insufferable, and also the things these characters want, you know, kind of like, you know, like whiny millennial like. And the Maze Runner franchise is definitely more in terms of good quality, in terms of what the Hunger Games was, in that Westball, the director, is working with, you know, these kind of lower budgets or mid-range budgets on these big scale movies, and knows how to craft really good action and really interesting visual set pieces, and knows how to build cities for, like, you know, next to nothing. And on top of that, on this one, he had to work with, you know, a production accident that delayed his movie a year. So it was a monumental toll to make this film for the cast and crew. And I think they had one of the strongest finishes I've seen in a franchise in a while. It is 2.5 hours long, and it does drag in the middle, and Walton Goggins' character could probably have been... Excuse me. Could have been probably rewritten out of the movie. However, I think it's still one. I still think it's, you know, a strong finish, especially in the third act when characters are basically in a hyperbolic allegory setting. They're fighting literally their right to live. They're fighting their right for survival. In this deadly age where the flare is basically going to affect everyone, and it's an incredible, it's a really solid finale. I thought the movie finished strong, and it's a really good finale, very well done, and. Good job, Westball. I hope you have more movies in the future. And please check out more stuff from Dylan O'Brien, because I think he's a promising actor. I think he can definitely hold a franchise, or he did, and I think he can hold a couple more of these. So, moving on to the next one, we are going to move to Proud Mary. Now, this one definitely probably is not in theaters anymore. And it probably is for good reason. I preface that by saying, look, I think Taraji P. Henson is a great actress, and she deserves a John Wick-style franchise. The problem with Proud Mary is that it's basically the Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck, rom-com mobster drama. It's basically that, but more inspired by John Wick, and not really that good at all. That's really sad. It's because Taraji P. Henson is caring, and or she cares about the role she's in, and she gives a really good performance. The problem is she's stuck with material that is just not good at all, and the action is very lame, and none of the other actors are either, and all the other actors in this movie are either really bad or they're Danny Glover in that they are just there for the paycheck and just saying their lines the same fucking way, no matter, you know, what the context of the scene is. It's a pathetic movie, and Taraji P. Henson, you deserve better. And on the last one, I think we did not get a chance to talk about Paddington 2, which is a solid movie. It's a very well-made movie. And it did hold for a long time. I want to say that it's not 100% anymore. Let me check real quick. It's out of theaters. That's the thing. I'm reviewing movies that are out of theaters, which is a huge issue. Like, I need to review these a little bit quicker. And I will. I'll get to them faster. Faster and more intense. Hang on. Patty. We'll just cut this out. Oh no, it's still 100%. Yeah, it's still 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Which, I mean, it deserves it. It's a nice, fun little entertaining movie. I don't have a problem with the Paddington movies at all. I really enjoyed the first one a lot, and I really enjoyed this one. It's just I don't feel the same like emotions, and I don't feel the same emotions that mostly everyone does for Paddington 2. I still strongly recommend Paddington 2. It's just I don't feel the same way as most of my colleagues and most of my friends do on Paddington 2. It is a solid watch. You'll be entertained all the way through. And it is a very, very cute movie and with a really strong message and a powerful message about this bear who treats everyone with kindness and is rewarded for it in every sense of the word. And it's the perfect message you want to send to kids. It's just, I don't know. It's just, I don't have the attachment that I have to Paddington as a brand or as a character, as to say something else like Star Wars or Harry Potter. I still highly recommend it. It's just not, I don't think this franchise is 100% for me, but I still highly recommend it, or I still recommend it. And that is it for this January roundup. That's pretty much it. On Twitter, please follow me at MovieKale. You can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic, and you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network. I'm losing my voice because I've been doing podcasts all day. But I can say that we are moving forward with the retrospectives. We are moving forward. And those retrospectives are the Oscar-themed retrospectives, in that Brandon Cooley and I talk about the Best Picture nominees of 2008. So we're talking about those, and next week we're going to Juno. This Sunday we're going to have Michael Clayton. So please keep an eye out for that. And next week I'm not sure what we're going to be talking about on the Youth Critic podcast. I don't have that much more to review. The 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Freed React review should be up by now. It's that kind of month. I will see you soon.